story about an American, a Chinese, and of course, a Filipino. Siyempre, hindi tayo papatalo, di ba? Kailangan lagi tayo nandyan. Okay? What's this story is all about? An American said, when they gathered together, an American, because he digs up the ground to some 500 years in the past, and he discovered a cable. So that's why he told to the Chinese and the Filipino, guess what? We are really advanced as a country because 500 years ago, we're already using a cable. Now here comes the Chinese. Okay? Not to be outdone by the American. Siyempre hindi papatalo yan, di ba? Yung mga China. So what he did is that he digs the ground about 500 years ago and then he found fiber optics. Alam niyo ba yun? Diba? So, mas advanced yun. Diba? So, when he met the American, he said, you said that you are advanced as a country? Guess what? 500 years ago, we're already using fiber optics. Now, here comes the Filipino. Okay? The Filipino scratching his head. Alam niyo yung Pinoy, diba? Lagi tayo nagkakamot ng ulo. Tawag natin kamot ulo. Diba? So, here comes the Filipino. He digs up the ground 500 years in the past and he found nothing. Ayun ang problema, di ba? He found nothing. But this is what he said when he saw the American and the Chinese. Hey, you American and you Chinese, guess what? Okay? You said 500 years ago, Americans, you're already using cable. You China, 500 years ago, you're already using fiber optics. And guess what? The Philippines, 500 years ago, we're already wireless. So, mas advanced nga naman tayo. Hindi papatalo ang Filipino. Now, church, the reality is one way or the other, sometimes we boast not because of our country, but we succumb to the temptation of boasting. Where? When it comes to our plans and when it comes to our possessions. Well, there are people who plan, in their planning, they do not include God, as if God do not exist. And there are people also who brag about their possessions that as if it was not given to them by grace by the Lord. That's why the danger of Facebook. Remember last week, our pastor told us the danger of Facebook about bragging things. Because when we like to take a selfie picture with sometimes a new car, hindi naman pala sa atin yun, di ba? Naki-picture ka lang. Diba? We like to brag, especially our gadgets, the latest gadgets that we have, to the point that sometimes we're already boasting. But the scripture is calling us to stop boasting. Where can we find that? In James chapter 4, verse 13, up to chapter 5, verse 6. May I invite all of you to please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Here's chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. The word of God says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it for him, it is sin. And chapter 5, verses 1 to 6, it says, come now, you rich, whip and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded. And their corrosion will be evidence against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You laid up treasure in the last days. Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you. And the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on the earth in luxury and in self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You are condemned. You have condemned and murdered the righteous person. He does not resist you. May God be praised for the reading of His Word. Let us pray. Lord, once again, here we are. Indeed, Lord, we humble ourselves before You. Because, Lord, I myself, I am not even worthy to stand up here because it is only by Your grace. Just like what we sang a while ago. We are here, we're standing up before You only by Your grace, Lord. It is only by Your grace. So, Father, we ask that may Your Holy Spirit guide us as we study Your Word. Help us to understand Your Word and be able to apply it in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Now, the context of our passage today is still in line with humbleness. Remember, 3 weeks ago, we discussed about humbleness. That is James chapter 4, verses 6 to 12, wherein the Word of God says we ought to humble ourselves before God and before men. Now, in line with that thought, the Scripture is saying to us today is that we should stop boasting when it comes to planning and also when it comes to our possessions. Now, based on our passage, let us first have an observation. Twice he mentioned that word, come now. In the NIV, it says, now, listen. Now, what is its significance? In the original language, it's a prompter. Okay, where prompter meaning it's like calling our attention, calling the attention of the reader. Wherein it says, here it is, listen carefully, pay careful attention to what the speaker will say, to what the writer will say in the next sentences. So the same is true for us. The Scripture is calling us because twice he mentioned that word, come now, so we need to pay careful attention to what we will learn this morning. So what are we going to learn this morning? We are called to stop boasting. How? Here are the principles. First, when it comes to our planning, we should not be self-reliant or self-sufficient, but God-dependent. Okay? Second principle, when it comes to our possessions, we should not be selfish, but rather we should learn how to share. Because according to chapter 4, verse 17, if we do not do what is right, the right thing to do, then we commit sin. It is not only right that we should not be doing what we should not be doing, like sin, the sins that was described in the Word of God. But if we know what we ought to do, but still we do not do, like the lesson that we will be having this morning, we still commit sin. Now, let's start with the first principle. We should stop boasting when it comes to our planning. Look at verse 13, the confronting of self-sufficiency. Okay, it says here, come now, you say today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Now, James said, you who say, okay, now, the question is, who is he talking to here? Of course, it's obvious it's a merchant, a businessman. But is it outside the church? If he is talking to a businessman or a merchant who is outside of the church, then he is calling the attention of the believers to learn from what he is about to say to these men. If he is also talking to a Christian businessman, Christian trader, this is also for us as believers. Because remember, many scholars adhere that he's still talking to the believers because of James chapter 1, verse 1. This letter is for the Jewish people who were scattered, believers who were scattered abroad because of persecution. And many times James mentioned in this letter the Greek word adelphos, meaning brethren, brothers and sisters. That is why one scholar, Douglas Moo, said the tone James adopts suggests, however, that he regards the attitude of these Christians as unworthy of who they really are. So we are reminded of a father forced to rebuke his children for behavior not in keeping with family values. So this is more of an admonition for us. Okay? The significance of this passage for us today, this is more of an admonition for us. Why? Because of self-sufficiency. Self-reliant. Now observe the grammar that James used here. All verbs, go, spend, trade, make a profit. The original language, it's obvious, it's all in the future tense. That's why in our translation it says here, we will go. Future. So we will spend a year. we will trade and we will make a profit. The merchants here, the businessman here, his planning is as if he holds the future. He is so sure of what is the outcome. Did you see that? We will make a trade. We will spend a year. He knows the time. We will make a trade and we will make a profit. So as if he holds the future. Look at when it comes to scheduling today or tomorrow, the Bible says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. How can you say that tomorrow you are still alive? No one knows. With regards to the place where we will be, remember when he said we will go into such and such a town, the Bible says in Acts chapter 17, verse 26, from one man he created all nations throughout the whole earth. He decided, God decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he, God, determined their boundaries. Only God knows and can determine our boundaries where we will be. Okay? We do not hold our future. When it comes to time, the merchant said, we will spend a year. The Bible is clear that we do not control time. Wala tayong time stone. Na kay Thanos na. Nakuha na, di ba? Kay Doctor Strange. We don't have the time stone. Because the Bible says, look at what he said in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. For everything there is a season, a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die. So how can you say that I will spend a year when in fact you do not know if you are still alive tomorrow? When it comes to success, we will make a trade, we will make a profit. The Bible says we can make our plans. Look at that. But who determines our steps? Who will determine if we will have that success or not? It is the Lord who determines our steps. That is why the counsel of the Word of God is this. Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. We cannot say to ourselves, I will make a trade and I will make a profit. Because without the favor of God, you cannot make a profit. We need to understand that. It is the Lord's who can only establish our plans. Look at what he said in the scripture. He said, beware lest you say in your heart, my power. See that? Self-sufficiency. My power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. But the word of God says, you shall remember the Lord your God. Why? Because for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Look at the principle there. It is the Lord who gives us the power. It's only the Lord who can give us the strength in order for us to be able to work tomorrow. So, the Bible is against self-sufficiency. We cannot boast. So therefore, we should stop boasting. We need God in our plans. We cannot do it on our own, my dear brothers and sisters, because everything, okay, everything rests in God's hands. He holds the future. I love this song. There is this song, Because He Lives. One line there, it says, because I know that He holds the future. Only God holds our future. I like what David Jeremiah said about this when he said, it is wrong to do things without God. And it is wrong to plan things. So the Bible is not against planning, but it is wrong to plan things without God. Because if people leave God out of their planning, He may leave them out of His. Ayaw naman natin yun, di ba? So there's no problem with planning if we are God-dependent. But if we are self-reliant, that's the problem. Now look at the correction that James will say here in verses 14 to 16. This is what he said, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? he will now make us reflect. Okay? When that question, when he said, "What is life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this and do that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil." Here's the truth. We do not know what tomorrow will bring to us. That's why he said, "What is your life? It is like a mist." And the word mist there in the original language, it means a steam that rises from a pot. That is the picture. It is like the steam when you boil water in your kettle. It is like the steam that you see, and then it vanishes. The same is true with our life. Here it is now, and it's gone tomorrow. That is our life. That is the truth about our life. So James is giving us the right attitude when he said, if the Lord wills, say this, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this and do that. It is not a cliche. Okay? It's not a magic formula that every time we plan, let's say this, we will always end if it is the Lord's wills. No, that is not a magic formula. It is more of an attitude of the heart. Even if we say those things, but if our attitude, there is this boasting, self-reliance, then wala din namang kwenta yun. Kahit kasama yun sa plano mo, kahit lagi mo binabanggit yan, sinasabi yan. It is more of our attitude. If the Lord wills, then I can do this and I can do that. Remember, we must stop boasting. We must depend on God. Humble yourselves before God. That is what we learned 3 weeks ago. And then he said, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. The word boast, it means to take pride in something, to brag. Okay? It is like taking pride of what you did. The picture is bragging of something that you have already done. Worst is you brag about your accomplishments. Sometimes we do not say that, but what about the attitude of our heart? For example, our plan works. Our suggestion works. How do you feel? What do you feel inside of you? Do you feel that it is as if you accomplished everything? It is as if that certain project, it became successful because of you? The plan works because of you. That's boasting, self-reliance. Stop boasting. Again, there's nothing wrong to plan. Okay? I'm not suggesting here you do not plan. No. Okay? Because as someone said, if you do not plan, you plan to fail. What we are saying here, okay, like what John MacArthur said, he said, James does not condemn wise business planning, no, but rather planning that leaves out God. Okay? In our plan, we must stop boasting, therefore we must be God-dependent, not self-dependent. Reliant. Okay? One principle that still resonates in my heart right now, and I think I heard this 2014 or 2015, is this. Life is short. God is big. Take the next step. Meaning, life is short, so therefore we should depend on God because He is big so that we can accomplish our next step. Because it is only by His grace alone that we can fulfill God's plan. So, how are we going to do this? Church, in our planning, it is not after we plan, then we will pray, Lord, bless my plans. Bless our plans. No. If we want to show that we are God-dependent, then we should first and foremost discern His plan for us. It's not about our plan, but it's God's plan for us to accomplish. It's not our plan. But Lord, what is your plan for me? What is your plan for this company? What is your plan? What will be my next step? For those of you who already graduated grade 12, what will be the course, Lord? What is your plan for me? What is the course that you like me to take? It's not, Lord, eto na, nakapili na ako, then bless this. No, no. It should be, what is your plan, Lord, for me? What is your plan for me? And I am guilty of this. I always make plans. I always, you know, in my scheduler, I always, punong-puno po yan eh. Then, I will say, Lord, bless all of these things. You know what? One thing that I learned throughout the week is this. I think you are all familiar with Kuya Clem, right? Kuya Clem Guillermo, if you are familiar with him. Actually, meron po siya kasi dapat ikakasal. Nakaschedule na yan, February pa lang. Ikakasal niya. Okay? And we all know what happened to him. He's now in the hospital. Medyo, we need to pray for him. So he has plans for this couple. Ang nangyari, naipasa niya na lang po. Ako na yung magkakasal sa July kasi nandun siya sa hospital. So sometimes we plan things but we don't hold what will happen. And even my friend, Pastor Eric, sabi nga niya, pinost niya naman yan, nakapublic naman. Sabi niya, I have so many plans. Meron siya ikakasal din last Saturday, everything. All of a sudden, his wife got sick. She needs to bring her to the hospital. Nawala lahat yung plano niya. Because again, we do not hold the future. Only God knows. So we need to discern God's will. So what are we going to do? The steps in planning. And I got this from the idea from David Jeremiah. Okay, what are we going to do? So that we will be self-dependent. Okay, here are the things that we need to do. First, seek His guidance. Okay, every time we will make a plan, we need to pause and pray. We need to seek His will. Seek that we must discern His will. Okay? Second is this. Realize that His will is always in harmony with His word. So as we pray, we need to read His word, meditate His word, reflect His word, and then reflect on our life so that we might discern what is the plan of God and His purposes for our lives. Okay? And then the third one is to write down what is God's will for you. Okay? Kasi the tendency is, if we don't write it down, malilimutan mo lang yan. Kinabukasan, wala na yan. So write it down. Okay? At as you go when you have this alone time with the Lord, you pray, you read His word, discern His will, then you write down what is the will of God, what is His purposes and His plan for you, what is the Lord is impressing in your heart, write it down. And then, do what He says. Do His plan for your lives. David Jeremiah said, when you include God, okay, when you include God in your planning, He will help you toward the goal He has determined. So stop boasting when it comes to our plan. We must not be self-dependent or self-reliant, but be God-dependent. Let me share to you a story, a parable that was given by the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 12. Open your Bibles. If you have your Bibles with you, open it in Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 21. Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 21. And here's the parable that Jesus gave to His disciples. Someone in the crowd said to Him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, man, who made me a judge or an arbiter over you? And He said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And here's the parable, verse 16. And He told them a parable saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'Take note of this. I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grains and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.'" Take note, it's all about himself. I, self-sufficiency. But, verse 20, it said, "But God said to him, 'You fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." He made plans for himself about himself and about his riches. He wants to use his possessions only for himself. And that is the second principle. When it comes to stop boasting, when it comes to our possessions, don't be selfish, but rather learn to share. Look at what James said in chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. Here's how he corrects the perspective about our possessions in verses 1 to 3. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasure in the last days. From businessman, James will now move to the rich, whose focus is the material wealth. Now, what is the link between these two? The merchant, the businessman, and the rich man, both focuses on wealth. The merchant, they want to make a profit. The rich, there, they are focusing on their wealth. Okay. In verse 1, James said, "Weep and howl." This is a picture of repentance. What he is trying to say, cry out to God, you who are rich. Why? Because judgment is coming upon you. Now, these people, these rich people, okay, let's qualify this. Okay, these rich people that James is saying here, they are trusting their possessions. Okay, that is why James said, riches will fade away and cannot save you. That is why he said in verses 2 and 3, sadly, they just laid up treasure for themselves. Now, there is nothing wrong to have possessions. Just like in planning, there's nothing wrong to plan. But don't be self-reliant, but God-dependent. When it comes to possession, there is nothing wrong to have wealth or to have possessions. Okay? We're not saying that if you have possessions, you commit sin. No. What the Word of God is saying to us is this. You should not focus on your possessions or trust your possessions. Do not even let your life revolve around money, around your wealth, around your possessions. The Bible is clear as a believer, if the Lord has blessed us, if the Lord has blessed you with resources, the call of God is for you to lay treasures in heaven, meaning you should also become a blessing to others. Look at what Jesus has said to his disciples here in Matthew chapter 6. He said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And the scripture is also counseling the rich, for those who have possessions. He said, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, not to be boastful, not to be arrogant, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but only on God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. What are they going to do for those who are blessed with resources? It says here, they are to do good, to be rich in what? Good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasures for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. So church, possessions is not the problem, but the attitude towards our possessions, that's the problem. So we should stop boasting when it comes to our plans and even with regards to our possessions. When it comes to our possessions, we should not be selfish, but rather we should be ready to share. Look at what James said, confronting selfishness. Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back. How? By fraud. They are crying out against you. And the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on the earth in luxury and in self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the righteous person. He does not resist you. So the rich whom James is confronting here are those who are committing injustice. Instead of sharing their wealth, They just focus on gaining more wealth. How? By defrauding their employees, their workers. Take note, okay? Nothing can escape from the eyes of God, because it says there, the cries of the harvesters, the workers, the laborers, the employees have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. Perhaps what is in the mind of James here is the story of Abel and Cain. Remember in Genesis chapter 4, it says there, the Lord said, "What have you done?" He's talking to Cain. He said, "The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground." This is a picture that nothing can be hidden in the eyes of God. Everything. He can see the injustice that is happening here between the rich and the poor. God knows everything. And remember that God is the avenger. Diba? Since palabas pa rin yung avenger, diba? God is the avenger of those who have been defrauded. The Almighty God, the Lord of hosts, He is the defender of the oppressed. Nothing can escape from the eyes of God. God knows everything. And these people, they are selfish. This rich that James is talking here, they are selfish because they just use their possessions for their self-indulgence. Self-indulgence means to satisfy one's own appetite. It's a picture of selfishness. The idea is just they just focus on themselves. They just simply want to satisfy themselves. They no longer care of what is happening around them. They no longer care about their brothers and sisters in Christ. They're just enjoying themselves. Then that's all that matters to them. It's a picture of selfishness. The problem is selfishness, not the possession. Okay? So remember, stop boasting when it comes to our possession. And when it comes to verse 6, the NIV application commentary said, "This life of self-interested and irresponsible luxury is nothing short of murder. Why? Because the rich have seen the poverty of the poor around them and they have failed to take action." So what is the significance of this verse to us? Again, stop boasting when it comes to our possessions. Now, there is nothing wrong. Okay? There is nothing wrong when it comes to enjoy our resources. Because let me read to you what Ecclesiastes said. "There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also," the preacher said, "I saw is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat and who can enjoy his possessions?" So there's nothing wrong to enjoy our possessions, but we must also learn to share our possessions. Because the Word of God says here, God is able to make all grace abound to you. What is the purpose? So that having all sufficiency in all things, at all times, you may abound in every good work. And in 2 Corinthians 9:11, it says, "You will be enriched in every way." Again, what is the purpose? To be generous in every way. Now, allow me to share to you how I apply this truth personally, because I am not rich. So this the principle is for all of us. Because being rich is relative. You can say that I am not rich, even though you are rich. Okay, so it's relative. Now, how can we apply this? Okay, for all of us. That's why I'm going to share this to you. Hindi po para magbuhat ng bangko, but so that you can see how we can apply the Word of God in our lives. Okay. Last May 13, I was invited to preach at Jesus Our Lord and Redeemer Christian Church in Patimbawa, Santa Cruz. Okay. And before my schedule there to preach, I already learned that the pastor will be undergoing surgery the following week. Okay. And he is raising funds. And actually, he told me that he is raising around 100,000 pesos for his surgery. Okay? So even before I go there, the Lord somehow impressing in my heart is that, "Erwin, whatever you will be able to get there, the love gift that the church will give you, give it to that pastor. Give it to their pastor." And then I told it to my wife. Siyempre, kailangan alam ng asawa, di ba? Kung ano yung lahat ng nangyayari. So sabi ko, "Okay lang ba?" Sabi niya, "Okay lang." So, yun na yun. So, I was there, preached. After the preaching, someone stood up and then they asked the congregation to share something for the pastor because he is raising funds. So I was there, and then the Lord again impressed in my heart, Aaron, whatever is in your wallet, give it to the pastor. Oh Lord, ito na nga lang eh. Paano ko uuwi mamaya? Diba? Pag nakabangga po ako na nagtitinda ng mani, diba? Wala po ako ibabayad doon. Kahit po doon sa paninda niya lang. Give it. Everything that is in your wallet. Okay, Lord. Diba? Di, bigay ka. Ayun, ah. And then, after that, here comes their leader giving me the love gift. To be honest, I was tempted, Lord, nagbigay na ako, diba? Akin na to. Diba? Wala na. Okay na naman. Nagbigay na naman ako eh. Oh, Erwin, you are blessed in order for you to become a blessing. Mas malaki yung pangangailangan yan kaysa sa pangangailangan mo. Yun na nga, Lord, eh, meron din naman akong pangangailangan eh. Pero mas malaki yung pangangailangan niya kaysa sa pangangailangan mo. You can live, di ba? Yung needs mo, pwede mo nang sandali muna yan. Yung wants mo, pwede namang isang tabi mo yan. Mas kailangan niya all that time. Lord, ang hirap naman ito. Di ba? Di, kuha ko, lunch pa. Ayoko nga agad iabot eh. Di ba? Lunch muna. Lord, baka malimutan ko. At least, lusot na ako sa inyo. Nalimutan ko na, Lord, nadala ko eh. Yeah. Talagang ayaw, di ba? So after lunch, I gave it to the pastor. Hindi ko tinignan yung laman kasi I will be tempted, di ba? Baka lalo ako matempt na kumuha ng isa, di ba? Para sa'yo na yung iba. Yeah. Hindi ko talaga binuksan. Abi nga ng pastor, no, pastor, it's for you. No, you need this, di ba? Yes, the church gave it to me. Now I am giving this to you. Akin na to eh. Diba? So, sa'yo naman, binibigay ko. I'm here to bless you. That's how we can share our resources. Even though you are not rich, quote-unquote rich, in your own eyes, but still we can share our resources. Instead of boasting, bragging about our resources, let's share. Don't be selfish, but rather share. Now, we will conclude with verse 17. Here's the third principle here. Okay? When you know what is right, the right thing to do, but you do not do it, you know that you commit sin. Look at chapter 4, verse 17. James said, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, can we read it together? For him, it is sin. Yes, I understand this conclusion. It could be for the preceding verses, but it could also be an opening for the succeeding verses about possessions. But what can we learn from this? It is not just enough that we do not commit sin, the Bible that describes in the Bible, in the Word of God, the sins that was described there. That's good if we are not committing the things that we should not be doing. But if, on the other hand, if we are not doing what we should be doing, the Bible says we still commit sin. In this context, we should stop boasting. How? First, when it comes to our planning, we should not be self-reliant, but God-dependent. When it comes to our possessions, we should not be selfish, but rather we should be willing to share. If we do not do that, we commit a sin. Remember, life is short. So let us live a life of obedience to God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And I just pray, Lord God, that help us, Lord. May the Holy Spirit empower our lives to live out, Lord God, the principles that we have learned from your word. Especially this lesson that we should stop boasting. And how are we going to accomplish this, Lord? When it comes to our plan, help us, Lord, to really discern your will. Help us, Lord, to pause, Lord God, to take time with you. And to really discern your will, to really ask you, Lord, what is your plan for our lives? It's not, Lord, bless our plan, but rather, Lord, what is your plan for our lives? Because we want to walk, we want to follow your plans for our lives. And Lord, when it comes to our possessions, I know, Lord God, that you will always give us an opportunity for us to become a blessing to others. So Lord, help us to be sensitive to the needs of others. And help us, Lord, to share our resources to others. Because, Lord, your word says, if we do not do this, then we commit a sin. So, Lord, sometimes we neglect this, so we ask for your forgiveness. But now that we know, help us, Lord, to apply this in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.